If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Thank you. same old repetition. Gets you weary in your deeds. Or you paint the walls with warning signs. Hope that all the world will see. See one. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Goose and Hot Tea, taken from their Bingo Tour performance June 27th, 2020. Rising Stars Goose got on the COVID-19 pandemic isolation train pretty quickly back in the spring and created a virtual summer event called Bingo Tour that consisted of 4 shows and 6 additional days of activities for their community and fans, all live streamed for a nominal fee. Those shows, and indeed the entire programming for Bingo Tour, were very well regarded and well attended. On November 25th, the band will release a video compilation of those live shows, along with a 55-minute behind-the-scenes look into the making of what was an unprecedented week of digital content. I caught up with Peter Ansbach, the band's keyboard and occasional guitar player, to talk about the event and what fans can expect from the Bingo Tour movie. Our conversation started when I asked specifically about pioneering this notion of creating an event for their fans and how quickly they got the ball rolling on creating it.
Yeah, so we kind of we started planning it, I think, the first week of April, and then I don't think we properly announced it until like a month later. It's kind of fuzzy now. The time was such a blur back then. We kind of had this idea of the bingo show that we really wanted to do. We were gonna maybe do it at Goosemas actually this year. But that obviously wasn't going to pan out as we had hoped. And we knew that at that moment. We were like, okay, like, you know, maybe we should try this. And as a virtual thing, it was just like, we had to come up with something to do, like a virtual summer tour. The managers were kind of pushing for it. And we just didn't want it to be us just playing the songs, you know. We kind of wanted a thing, because it was just going to be kind of weird if there was no thing. So we were just like, yeah, let's do bingo. Like, that'll be fun. And then just the ideas just started to roll out so naturally. It was amazing. Like the cards, like people having the cards at home. I mean, the random set list, like the activities, like the fact that it was at the rec center. I mean, it all just like came together in such a cool way that I don't think any of us really, like when we had the idea for like a bingo show, it wasn't nearly what it actually became. It became like so much more. So it was like really a perfect kind of thing to happen.
Let's break down some of that, because it seems like this was more involved than just the 5 of you now getting up on stage and performing. Right. This was like a lot of people involved, whether it was making accommodations with the rec center, or donate, or having fans donate to the rec center, the cards themselves, the songs that were going to go into the drum to be pulled each at the end of every song.
Right.
How many people were there? Like a dozen at least people involved in this project?
Yeah, it was mostly just the band, our 3 managers, and we did actually get a bingo consultant to advise on the cards, and he actually created the algorithm for the making of the cards, which was essential. That was like one of the things we just didn't know how to do, but we found this guy who's a professional bingo consultant, and he like helps, you know, he advises games like in Las Vegas all the time, and we paid him like a fee, basically like $500 or something, to like create this formula that would spit out a bingo card with Goose songs on it. So it was pretty awesome how that came together. I mean, everything else, like we kind of, one of the biggest hurdles was like which company we were going to go with to actually live stream and create like a unique environment. Mm-hmm. And we like sold everything on Tixer, like planning to go with that. But then during that time, like things are moving so quickly, and this other company, Live by Live, kind of came up, and they just had a really solid platform, and we kind of migrated to them like the week before.
Wow.
And it was all just kind of happening like at the seat of our pants, a lot of it. But yeah. And we were like, one thing I was just so worried. I was like, I hope people are actually going to win. Like, it seems like as we looked at it, I was like, wait a minute. But like, if we don't repeat songs, like whoever has like, you know, let's say they fill up half their card on night 1 and don't win, they have like a terrible chance of winning like the rest of the nights. But it turned out like some people actually were able to win with the original card like the second weekend, and in different ways, like people, we like four corners, straight line. Like it was just, that was also interesting to me. And we know it wasn't really set in stone. There's so much uncertainty to it, but it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out great. Before we get to the song selection and devising that list, there was so much speculation online because the first couple of shows were so strong in terms of set lists that there were people who thought that the fix was in. and they were proclaiming that on social media. I mean, you have some crazy fans on Facebook and some of the channels. I'm sure you're widely aware of that.
Enthusiastic.
Sure. Let's say that. Yeah. They're very enthusiastic. Yeah. But you guys really had once the mechanism was in place, it really was just about coach pulling out balls, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was definitely, some talk about like, okay, like, is this really like a dumb idea to just randomly put all the balls in there and like, we'll see what happens. Like, there's certain songs of ours that are like, fan favorites. That's like, one of the conversations we had was like, what if these all get pulled on like night one? Are people just gonna, turn off their thing like the rest of the nights? I mean, I don't know if that would have happened, but like, that's the kind of thing that goes through your head if you're a musician. Like, you're kind of like, well, we want people to have a good time. Like, we're always worried about that, So it's like, it really worked out incredibly well. And it was not planned at all. Like, I think the funniest thing that happened was night two, there was a ball that was reprised the opener that I was so excited for to happen like later in a show, and it got pulled first. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, there's like a couple things like that that were just so funny. I mean, night two, I think we played like maybe one original song.
Right, it was the cover set. It was the cover show.
It was like the covers and activities. But, it had to happen. Like, there had to be like that one weird night. And then the first night was just pretty standard. And then like second weekend was just like a great mix of everything, I thought.
So what happened? You came up with a list of 60 songs or something to put into the spinner. Was it really that big? How big was the list?
So the list was 81 things. It was, I believe it was like, around 60 actual songs. And then 15 or 16 activities, like take a lap, 50 crunches, 40 squats, like limbo. Yeah.
Right.
It was all in there.
And John Coach Lombardi's role was to pull those song names out of the hopper, I guess. But he's more involved. Like, his name is Coach for a reason. What is John's role with the band?
John's role is, this is something that's like been going on for a while, trying to figure out exactly like his title or whatever. I mean, officially right now he's our stage manager.
Right.
But the coach he's kind of like, he rallies the team. I mean, that's really you don't realize like how much you need like somebody like that. It's like a morale leader. And he really like brings everybody up to like a new level and just hypes it up. Like, it's just wild. It's wild the effect that he has. He's always like, he's down for a good joke. He's always in a positive mood. I mean, that goes so far when you're in a band and or working with a group of people at all, like in any circumstance. It's just like, I don't know. It's so valuable.
I think at one point, it was probably in the second show that we were talking about all the covers and activities, Rick, I think, got a little bit miffed that was all the things that you were pulling, and you could tell that he was, frustrated by the work of the roller. Were any of you sharing those sentiments, or were you just going along with it? I mean, Rick was singing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was just hilarious. Like, we didn't, we were like, we're going with the balls, but it was funny because we didn't know what was going to happen. And absolutely, I was at some points like, oh God, like, what is this? Like, what is this set right now?
Right.
You know, But it's all in good fun. It was all part of the experience, and I'm glad people got to even see the mental anguish that we had on stage.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to me a bit about Jeff. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, but I'll try. Jeff Arevalo. Say that again.
Arevalo.
Yeah, Arevalo. Jeff Arevalo is now the fifth member of the band, or at least was for Bingo Tour, and I think he's subsequently sat in with you guys on percussion. Is he now a regular member of the Goose Band?
I mean, he's not yet an official member, mm-hmm. but at least what he is like, I mean, he's like our best friend, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. It just kind of made sense. We live with him too, Rick and I, and over the past year. And like while we were in quarantine, basically all we could do was do like acoustic streams with Jeff, and he plays upright bass as well. So we did a couple of those and just from our house, and it was so much fun. I've always loved playing music with Jeff. So it was just kind of natural. We were like, you know, Jeff should be involved in Bingo Tour because like, why not? It'd be super fun. And it went really well. We all had a great time, and, you know, decided to like try it out for real, on the road in the fall. So, yeah, I mean, we're just, you know, at this point in our, like, you know, in our musical path, you know, we don't necessarily have to like rush to call anybody like an official member of the band or anything like that, because we're basically just trying to figure out if that makes sense, you know, if we want to do that. And, you know, if people at home are, you know, what the reactions are or whatever, or how we think it's sounding musically, it all takes time to digest. So, you know, we're taking it one step at a time.
I vote for a full-time percussionist.
All right.
Yeah. I think it sounds really great. And I thought he was really good on those, acoustic shows. I thought he was amazing up
I know, he brings so much to the table. It's really like, it's incredible. Yeah. But you know, like I'm of the same opinion. Like I really, I enjoy the percussion a lot. So yeah.
Part of the thing about making these shows so great was not only the way they sounded, because they always sound good. All of your live streams sound really great, but they looked really good. And I think a lot of that goes to lighting director Andrew Goad, right?
Oh, yeah. And Getty.
Sorry, yeah. I'm going to mispronounce every single name.
Oh, it's all right. Nobody can pronounce his name. especially from the spelling. It's like,
yes.
What? Yeah.
Talk to me a bit about, I mean, he didn't know what songs were coming. So did he have an idea of what he wanted to do for each song? Or was it kind of like, again, flying by the seat of his pants based on what was going on?
He's been working a lot on establishing looks for each particular song, and which is something he really started to dial in at the end of last year. So whenever a song comes up, he can make that move pretty easily from his console. But yeah, we rented a whole bunch of additional lights for this that we had never had. We've never had like a lighting package like that before. So that was incredible. I mean, it looked great. And especially all the cameras and stuff. His sister, Marta, is kind of, you know, she runs the ship on like all the technical side behind the cameras, and she got like the streaming switcher, like, and the platform, and like she was handling all that technical stuff as well as like manning a camera. So and then Danny, who's like the steady cam operator, I mean, the camera just looks so good every time. And then Brian, who's the director, was just kind of going back and forth between all the angles, and like creating some really cool stuff. And they were like all on communications with each other, so they were able like to talk. And there's a whole bunch about this in the extras movie, like film.
Right. The film has something like 55 minutes of behind the scenes stuff that Brian directed. So aside from Brian being pretty important on the nights of the show, he was probably developing some sort of script or some kind of idea of what you guys wanted to do with this material after the show as well, right?
You know, it's interesting because we had that thought, and you know, it all kind of, but it came together like a lot, you know, I think maybe in like September we really started to work on it. And, you know, it brought like a whole new perspective to the project because we just decided, we were like, okay, you know, I think this is too good. Like we work really hard on this. Like we should, you know, kind of give it a special release rather than, you know, just put the soundboards out, put out some videos. And I don't know, I thought it was groundbreaking. I thought it should get like, it's really its moment in the sun. When we could do that and properly, I spent a lot of time on the movie, basically doing all the editing and like, choosing like what songs are going to go in and stuff like that. So it's really like, it came out in like a really special way, that I'm really glad that we had the time to like make it happen.
How long did it take you to package these five nights and all of the other material into one succinct movie? Did it take many hours?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it definitely, I mean, it took us over a few months. But at the same time, there were shows, there was other things happening. So I can't really put like an amount of hours on it,
right.
But it definitely took a lot of effort. And all the transitions are like, I don't know, I love all the transitions so much. So, and it's kind of, it's a compilation. So you have like, you know, a track from like night four going into a track from night one, back to a track from night four or into track three, like, you know, or night three, you know, it's all kind of mixed together. But yeah, I really am digging where the flow is at. And then, I mean, everything else about it was, we had so much great content from the week. You know, so thanks to Brian.
Yeah. How much of that other content aside from the shows are included? I mean, the reporter that you had running around was pretty hilarious. You had all the activities that you guys were doing. I mean, is a lot of that included in the documentary, in the video?
Oh yeah, definitely. The like some of the activities, Joey and like the reporter and yeah, like all some of the commercials and just a whole bunch of like setting up and just behind the scenes action.
Yeah,
that's what it's mostly, honestly.
Is it as campy as I imagine it would be, or is pretty, some of it?
Got that vibe because it's so. I mean, there was something special. It really felt like almost like a summer camp vibe. Like there wasn't really much else going on. And it was just all of a sudden, like all our friends were gathering together and it was summer. And it was just like, we were kind of just chilling. And it was like, it was magic.
Yeah. I remember seeing some footage of you guys like diving off the dock and doing yoga and all of that stuff. And I would imagine all of that stuff shows up on here, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Talk to me a bit about the music, because I know fans are jonesing to get the music, the soundboards. You mentioned it.
Right.
And they are excited to hear some of this stuff back. How much of the music is actually, what would you say, 50% of the shows, 25% of the shows are contained in the movie? How much of that material is
That's a good question. It's about 25%, because the length of the movie is the same length as like one of the shows.
Right.
So, the movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes long. So it's
a long movie.
It's basically a show.
Right.
And it weaves in and out of the songs, but yeah, it's about 25%. And the other soundboards will come along eventually. You know, they won't hide them away forever.
I guess, you know, fans want to know if you're hiding them away because you're not happy with the performance or because you're doing this purposely, like you're purposely holding stuff back so that you can release it in a special way. Like, I don't think anybody anticipated this movie, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. Like, there's nothing that happens nowadays that I'm like, absolutely, this can't go out because of performance. And that says a lot about like where the band has come. And I'm going to knock on wood as I say that. I'm very superstitious, but you know, you know, like there was times, like, think back in like 2018 and stuff, where we were very selective about like what we put out. Like, it, you know, we just weren't there in a lot of ways that we are now. I mean, I had only been in the band for a few months or whatever. So now, I mean, at this point we've reached a point where we feel comfortable putting anything out, because I think we've reached a certain level, to be able to do that. And, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there are certain soundboards that haven't come out, but most of them are due to, like, you know, technical errors.
Right.
Like, there's like this Bowery show that happened last year, or actually at the beginning of this year. The soundboard got corrupted, like the files. Oh, I would love to put it out, but I have to get this hard drive fixed. So if you know any gurus who are like really good at fixing, you know, drives, I've already taken it to a few people and they're like, can't fix it.
Oh, I'm shame.
Like, what? So I think we just need to wait until the technology's better for like fixing a broken hard drive.
Right.
And then we should have a Bowery soundboard.
So fixing broken hard drives fixes broken hearts, I guess, is the...
Yeah, there you go.
The thing there, right? That's the tagline. What's next for you guys? I mean, this movie comes out. You've been doing a few shows here and there. Mm-hmm. Are you working on new music? I mean, you guys, you live with Rick and Jeff. Are you working on new music? Are you doing other things that we'll be hearing about in the next couple months?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we absolutely are. We've been working our socks off ever since March, pretty much. So there's a lot more to come that is very, very exciting for us. And in addition, we are writing new stuff. I like was working on a track last night. I just got this awesome. I'll show it to you. It's like this.
Wow.
Check it out. It's like a Tascam, like tape machine, essentially.
Four track,
like
eight track.
Yeah, like it's a four track. Dude, it is sick. It's great for just like, I just made a demo on it last night. It's just so cool to be like working with a little cassette as opposed to, you know, my computer, which is kind of what I used to do.
Yeah.
Like if I was trying to make a demo. So yeah, I have that thing now and it's fun, super great. And I'm feeling very inspired. So I'm looking forward to this winter. I'm just going to like, I don't know. I feel something coming.
Are you guys, Spafford announced that they're doing a New Year's Eve run. I'm sure there mm-hmm. are other bands that are planning New Year's. Can we break some news? Is there a potential for a New Year's Eve run for you guys?
Oh, you know, I would say, we'll see.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to watch. I mean, I've seen the trailer and I'm excited to watch the whole thing. I did watch all of the shows when they were live. And I got to tell you guys, well, you're the only person on this, but I got to tell you that from the time I talked to you, it seems like forever ago, like 2.5 years ago till now, the growth of this band has been just incredible. And I don't know if it was those opening slots for Spafford when I first spoke to you, or
right.
two summers ago now, Peach Festival. I mean, that's how long ago it was. Is there a moment in time that you can point to where you feel like things have just blown up for you guys?
I mean, certainly I could tell you for sure. We didn't play. Like the biggest jump in playing was probably that I remember significant was fall 2019, when we really started. There's something about like playing to like a sold out packed audience,
right,
that elevates your playing. So once we had that tour and we were just playing like packed bars, that elevated everything so much. That was huge. A huge tour for us. So
that's for the insiders.
I'm really excited to get
that. Was for the insiders, the people who knew you guys probably and were following.
Yeah,
the story.
Yeah. And there was some people from like the festivals coming out at that time. I mean, for sure. Cause we hadn't really sold out anything until after we played those festivals. And those festivals were huge for us as well. It's like Peach Fest and Resonance. And, I mean, those were massive. Dome Fest especially as well. So, you know, just getting in front of people for the first time, a lot of people came out and helped sell out all our shows in the fall. So yeah, that was pretty magical. And then that really elevated us, I think.
How much do you, you know, we talked about the enthusiastic fans online. Do you, I think I asked you this a while ago, but I'm curious about it now. How active are you on reading what's going on like the El Goose group or the other groups on Facebook or Reddit, or how active are you in seeing all of that stuff?
Really not very active. I don't have a ton of time, you know, to read what people say. Sometimes something will come up, you know, I'll either be like, oh, that makes sense, or, oh, interesting.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of chatter of late on this whole idea of passing the torch, on what bands are passing you the torch and on what bands you're passing the torch to. This is nonsense, right? This isn't stuff that you guys think about at all, right?
No, absolutely not. You know, I would say like it would be awesome to one day, you know, if, I mean, people are saying pass the torch or whatever, but like bands coexist.
Right.
That's just how it works. We're already coexisting now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what torch they're talking about, but.
Yeah, it's silly.
We're carrying our own torch. You know what I mean?
Well said.
And yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's going to be pretty damn awesome. So.
It is. Yeah. It is. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for taking the time, dude. I know you have lots going on, but. Yeah. We were psyched to hear about this movie that people can get starting November 25th. They can go to the website for more details, to the Goose website for more details. Thanks for taking the time. You've always been great with your time for us at the Sound Podcast, and we can't thank you enough. And, dude, I love, like, I'm being sincere and objective when I say everything that you guys put out, you know, there are some things that go a little long or whatever, but objectively, you guys are making really great music and you should be really proud.
Thanks, man. We're going to continue to focus on it. So, yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. Everything you need to know about Goose's Bingo Tour and the forthcoming Bingo Tour movie. For more on the band or to get the Bingo Tour movie, visit goosetheband.com. Before we leave you, let's go back to June 27th, 2020 for another track from the Bingo Tour. Here is Creatures, which is joined in progress from the Hot Tea segue we played earlier. We'll be right back.
tracks out in the mud. Poor tiger on the run. You're lying. Don't you see this jungle? Through your veins, all Phoenix.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.